Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Revelation chapter 12, we'll start from verse 10. It'll also be on the screen. Powerful passage this morning. As we preach in the first service, now in the second, would you stand with us, please? Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10. Let's read God's word. Are you ready? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death." I want you to read verse 11 with me right out loud. Are you ready, set, go. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short." Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did in the first service, what you're going to do right now. Come and mark us with visitation. Take your finger and write upon the tablets of our heart that we would be forever transformed. Release, unsheathe the double-edged sword of your word, and may we be changed because of it. When we leave this place, may we know that you have spoken. May we be impacted with revelation that causes a revolution. May we be forever changed because of this morning. In Jesus' name, put your best hand clap together and say amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, turn to three or four people and say, "You're going to be forever changed after this morning. Going to be forever changed after this morning." And you may be comfortably seated. Again, we have notes. I made a feeble attempt to get away from passing out notes, didn't like it, and went back to it today. So there you go. You've got notes, and feel free to use them and fill them in so you can go and preach it to somebody else. Thank you, ushers who were serving. What a tremendous passage of scripture. I remember the first time it being preached to me by Eduardo Cerveso, and he preached. Eduardo Cerveso was a revivalist in Argentina. And they talked about how this scripture was key in at the Argentinian revival. They need another one now, but God poured out his spirit all those years ago in Argentina. And I want to tell you that God is doing that all around the world. God is pouring out his spirit in India. God is pouring out his spirit in Israel. God is pouring out his spirit in Russia. God is pouring out his spirit in every nation, every tribe and tongue. And the nations that are not reached will soon be reached. The devil's time is short. God is pouring out his spirit. And we're headed for the greatest harvest of souls that mankind has ever known. Can you shout to God? Amen. It's the greatest time to be alive. The greatest time. The prophets saw it and prophesied. And you and I are living in it. Come on, somebody say, "I'm living in it." Absolutely. This prophetic word over Alaska that prophetess Jane Hammond just shared at the last power conference, which we had just a number of weeks ago, really shook me. In previous years, she prophesied that Alaska was an upper room for the nation. And I do believe, as I said, that we've had a great breakthrough as the demonic ideologies have been and are being destroyed. And I believe America is going to come roaring back to a great awakening. I believe that God is going to touch our nation yet one more time. And I know that the end is soon. It's certainly nearer than when we first believed. And so I've been preaching this series. I started on prayer, a little review of the series. I started on prayer. Without prayer, there's no awakening. Prayer is key to transformation in culture. Prayer is key to transformation of a community. And every awakening, there's patterns or key elements, and prayer is always the first one. At the Hebrides revival, they gathered to pray. In fact, before God split that place open in the 20s, I believe it was, with Duncan Campbell and an outpouring in the Hebrides, where they couldn't even pick their pints of ale up off the bar. People got saved. People were getting saved in their homes. If you went in at night in the island of Lewis, you saw lamps in rooms and homes, and people were crying out to God. It was something that was sovereign, but the cry of people for God to pour out his spirit began, and that is always the beginning. When you look at the book of Judges, and there was so much difficulty and so much pain and so much bondage, every time God's people turned back to him and began to pray and began to cry out, that was the beginning of their deliverance. And I believe that America has turned in prayer. And I know for one, we've had a prayer meeting here for over 20 years, crying out, calling out, and we still have it. We have a prayer meeting 7 days a week. And if you don't have a prayer life, you're going to have a whole lot of lack of power, and you won't see God move you on into the next place. We will continue to pray, and when we pray, we will have awakening. That was the first message I preached. The second message Pastor Karen brought, and I was so impacted by her text and how she preached. I saw sections of it and was so blessed in one particular part, and it really is her. She was hugging her Bible, and she said, "You've got to know the Word. You've got to love the Word." And she gripped her Bible. I was so weeping. Watching online, I wasn't here, and what a powerful message about the power of the Word. And I bring you the third message in the series, which I have entitled, Proclaim Your Testimony. I tried to get some cute millennial thing, but I just couldn't fit it in there, so I'm just going to call it Proclaim Your Testimony. Your testimony has power, and it's not just your testimony, it's the Word. And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture that is truly profound to me. The way that Jesus uses Scripture, the way he treats Scripture is interesting. He said of David in Mark 12, verse 36, how David spoke by the Holy Spirit. These words of Jesus. He's declaring David spoke God's word. David spoke. That's what Jesus says. David spoke by the Holy Spirit. So he's declaring David's word in the Old Testament, God's word, the inspired word of God. He says in John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. How many of you ever heard of that? Spirit gives life, flesh counts for nothing. The words, listen closely now, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. He saw his own words. I mean, for us right now, we might say, well, duh, he's God. That's true. Jesus is God. But you have to understand, when he's speaking to the people he's talking to, and he says, my words are spirit and they are life, he's declaring his own words are inspired by God. But he is God, but he spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through him. He then exalts his own word even above the Old Testament. Now, as a Jew, understanding Torah, has anybody ever seen the Torah scrolls come into a synagogue? Has anybody ever seen that? It is like God himself is being ushered in. It's great pomp. It's a very holy moment when they bring the scrolls of the Torah in to be read. It's powerful. I've seen it a number of times. And yet Jesus declares in Matthew chapter 5, listen to this. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. So he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. And then he says this, listen. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust in his heart after her has already committed it. Jesus exalts, he's exalting his word above the Old Testament. Now the Old Testament is the word of God, but Jesus' word is God's word. He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. Came and dwelt among us. Can someone say amen? It's important that I give you this foundation before we move into the heart of this text. Really, through that text in Matthew 5 and other places, Jesus is redefining God's word. Amazing. Can you imagine if you were a Jew and Jesus is quoting that? Of course, they come to understand that he's the Messiah. Let's look at our text here. The text of Jesus defines us. You all there in Revelation chapter 12? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Now, there are articles in front of all of these, now salvation and strength. I'm reading from the New King James. There's articles in front. It really could be read, now the salvation and the strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. You say, why is it important that you would say the? Well, I'm not. I'm adding that because when you look at the original language, it's saying, in other words, there's no other salvation. There's no other strength. There's no other kingdom but his kingdom. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. So when you see what it's saying here is that there's no other salvation. Come on, there's no other name given among men by which you must be saved. It's a very powerful statement. The power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of their brother has been cast down, who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11, they overcame him. Read it with me. I had you read it before. Read it again. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and did not love their lives as to death. I have preached from this text many times before. It's like reading the sports page after the big event has been won. How did they win the Super Bowl? How did they win the World Cup? How did that happen? How did it come to them overcome the devil? How do they beat the devil? And it gives a framework of how you're actually able to overcome, how you to fulfill God's plan, how you're able to bring awakening. And if I could say it that way, the first thing, I haven't preached on this, but I'm going to tell you, without the blood, there's no victory. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood, there's no healing. Without the blood, you have nothing and you're still in your sin. Without the blood, we are broken, destitute, and reprobate. Without the blood. The only reason we're having church this morning is because of the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses from sin. There is nothing else that can cleanse you. So he's giving a framework. How did they overcome the devil? How did they win the Super Bowl? How did they win? The blood of the Lamb. Everybody say the blood. Blood. What's the second aspect, which is what I'm going to specifically preach on? The second aspect is by the word of their testimony. Wow. The word of their testimony. Now, what's interesting, the New Living Translation, which is a popular translation right now, absolutely butchers this text. It's horrible because it doesn't say word of your testimony. It says they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. That's not word of their testimony. It just says testimony. I'll get to that in just a moment. But Jesus defines this as overcomers. And we see from the text that, and this is right in your notes now, we see from our text that although Satan is a formidable foe, he has been defeated. Everybody say that. He has been defeated in both heaven and on earth. And so we stand in the position of victory based on the blood of the Lamb and what Jesus has done for us, what another has done for us. You don't have any victory without that. The word of our testimony. It says in 1 Peter, talking to wives whose husbands don't serve the Lord, I won't have you raise your hand. But what's interesting is verse 1 and then verse 2, by the way that the wives live, that he may be led to believe in God, this will happen without the wives saying anything. That's a miracle. Don't look at me like that. That's just true. Women talk twice as much as men. You, ladies, you know it. It's true. And the men aren't saying amen because they're scared. They use twice as much words. And he's saying, without saying anything, so I think this is the New Living Translation, they will see that you live holy lives and respect God. Literally, that their testimony by their behavior wins the unbelieving husband. So there's a testimony without words and a testimony with words. Your behavior, the way that you tip, the way that you live, the way that you speak, all testifies whether you're a believer or not. Can people know whether you're a believer by your behavior? St. Francis of Assisi said this, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. I like that. Preach the gospel. You know, the way that you live is a testimony. The way that you behave is a testimony. Some of you aren't testifying too good. He also says your deeds, the deeds you do may be the only sermon some people will hear. St. Francis of Assisi. So the way that it's structured here in the Greek is that literally it's a spoken thing. It's not just behavior. It's not, they didn't overcome by just their behavior. Their speech is involved. That's profound. Your words matter. Why the word of their testimony? Because your words matter. We see the importance of speech, and there's so much on this, and I've preached it before, but your words have power. I want you to say that. My words have, come on, say it again. My words have, some of you have been the recipient of words that were not so nice. Some of you have been, that. I don't know if you remember that, the sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Words pierce, words damage, words bring life, and words bring pain. There's word curses. Some of you have affixed, even in your mind, that you're not supposed to speak up because you heard from your father or your mother that children should be seen but never heard. Some of you have shame that you deal with because you've been blamed and criticized and damaged by the words of people, especially in your formative years. No, your words have power. One of the things I love about my wife, of which there's many, she always has words of encouragement for people. She's always saying, hey, woman of God, hey, and just constantly bringing life. Your words have power. It's the importance of speech. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Whoa! So your speech matters. Say it, my speech matters. Absolutely. And you can go to the book of Numbers and see where they grumbled against God and these serpents were released. You can see in Scripture, James, New Testament, your words, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is though a little rudder steers a ship. Literally, your life will be formed by the words that you speak. So think about how you get saved. You believe in your heart and you confess with your... You get saved, you get justified by your words. So there is going to come a great awakening because we're praying. There's coming a great awakening because of a love of God's word being taught, being discipled, learning it. But you must speak it. You must speak and declare your testimony because it has power. The word is a weapon. Say it with me. The word is a... I can't hear you this morning. The word is a what? It's a weapon. And when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, what did he do? What did he do? Did he pray quietly and meditate? No, he didn't pray quietly and meditate. He spoke the word. How did the devil tempt him? By the word, twisted it. That's what he does. So when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. His identity was constantly questioned. If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God. It's interesting how the devil comes and begins to question your identity. If you don't know who you are, then you've had identity theft. The truest and worst kind. You got to know the word because the word is truth. Say it with me. The word is what? The word is truth. And it exposes a lie. Any thought, listen closely, any thought that you have in your head that's not what God says about you in his word is a lie. And any word that you have in your life, in your mind, in your heart, that is contrary to God's word is a lie. It's a high thing. It's a stronghold. You can't afford, the Lord spoke to me years ago and said, son, you cannot afford to have thoughts in your head that I don't have towards you. I mean, that hit me because I had a bunch of thoughts. I had thoughts about money. I had thoughts about relationship. I had thoughts about my life and my past and all kinds of stuff. He said, stop. Some of you look at your life and you look at your past and you see all the history and all the reasons why you can't do something great for God or you can't fulfill destiny and purpose. Oh, you're native. Oh, you're white. Oh, you're black. Oh, I was in India. They have abject poverty, which I don't think we even know about, most of us. And they were so filled with joy, many of them. I went and visited these people called the Stonebreakers. They have a caste system there, which I'll talk about in a week. And they were filled with joy, children filled with joy. They had one set of clothes. They were believing for the next bowl of rice and some curry. Chicken. You had chicken. You didn't have any chicken unless you're wealthy. And they're believing for their next meal, and they were filled with joy. Oh, in America, we have so much, and there's just no joy because people don't really understand. Your words have power. The word is a weapon. Jesus used it when he was tempted. You need to use it when you're being tempted. And if you don't know the truth, because his word is truth, you'll have a lie that you believe. The word exposes a lie. How are you supposed to know what the lie is if you don't know the truth? The Bible, that which you have on your device or what you're holding in your hand, is true. You need to learn it. That's why we have life groups. One of the reasons. We have life groups for many reasons. A life group is a group of people that get together in cafes or homes in different places. We have 153 of them. There's men's groups, women's groups. And it's a place where people have fellowship. They can pray for each other, but you can learn the word. You can learn the word. If you don't learn the word, you're going to suffer under a lie. Somebody say, I don't want to do that. Come on ahead and say it. I'm not doing that. The word is power released. The word is power released. The word is God's testimony against Satan. Just think about you standing in a court of law. Can we have the next witness? Are you going to testify today? Yes, I'm testifying today. We use that language for court. The truth is it needs to be used in the church. It needs to be used in the community because you need to speak his word, and you need to share your testimony. It's very, very important. The gospel is God's power being released. Say that. The gospel is God's power being released. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and also for the Greek. I shared this story in the first service. I'll share it again. It was years ago. My mother was living in a place called Hana, Hawaii. I had pretty newly saved. And I would go on these runs. I would run with the Lord. And when I would run, I would feel his good pleasure. I should probably get to running again. I would run and just the power of God would come on me. And I'd worship and run. And I did this particular run up. If you know Hana, I would go up to the cross and then come back down. It's the first message I ever preached was to cows. And I'm pretty convinced one got saved, raised a hoof. And I have a scripture for that, just in case you think it's unscriptural. Preach to all creation. I figured that's creation. I preach to cows. It's my first congregation. I was like, come on, say amen. They're like, Finish that run, and then I would come back through town. And when I would come back through town, I would stop off. And because this broadcast reaches a lot of people, I don't want to talk specifically about the details of it, but I would stop at one of the stores. There's a number of stores. There are not a lot. Hana's a small town. I would swing into one of the stores full of the Holy Ghost, like a madman. I could have used a little bit more wisdom. I'd come in like, Jesus loves every one of you, and he's got a plan for your life. And they're like, oh, the Howley's here. Oh. And I did it a number of times. There was one particular person there that was really not happy. I didn't get kicked out because I would do it really quick and then I'd leave before they could kick me out. 10 years after that, I'm in a hospital, visiting a hospital with Pastor Nathan Hanohano, and we're witnessing. We're going into rooms, going into these. Actually, maybe it was a hospital or it was a retirement home. I think it might have been a retirement home. It's quite a while ago. I went into this retirement place. They're allowing us to share the gospel. And we go to this one room, and I see the name, which sounds familiar. It's a familiar name. It was the name of the people that owned the store that I had witnessed to all those years before. I thought it was kind of like, oh, that's a pretty common name in Hawaii, and I didn't know. The nurse that let us to go in, she go, oh, you're going to go in there? You're going to tell them about Jesus? You know, just really rude. Oh, you're going to tell them about your Savior? You know, that kind of thing, mocking. Go ahead. Have fun, you know, kind of like that. It was really not good. We went in, and the lady was in a fetal position. I think she was in her 90s. And we began to tell her about Jesus, and she responded. She responded. She didn't just respond. She prayed and received Jesus. She prayed the sinner's prayer. We led her. She prayed the sinner's prayer. She got born again. And we were just rejoicing. She's rejoicing. You could tell she was very elderly. And as we walked out, we were just like walking, you know, 10 feet in the air. And the lady said, well, how did it go? How'd your time go? We were like, it was amazing. We told her about Jesus, and we preached the gospel to her when she asked, and she asked. We said, and she received the Lord, and she gave her heart to Christ. She says, what do you mean? I said, she prayed this service. She says, she's deaf. I said, well, she's not deaf anymore. Or she heard from, do you know that precious lady died 3 days later? And do you know where she is? Longtime Buddhist family, and she's in heaven. You know why that is? Because the gospel has power, and when you share it, it releases his power. Something I learned is spiritual warfare. I did this when I went in every hotel room that I was in India. I'd open the door, and I'd say, hallelujah, thank you that Jesus was crucified, and he rose again from the grave. I sanctify this room, and I declare that Jesus is Lord. I cleanse it now by the blood of the Lamb. I declare Jesus as Savior in your mighty name. Amen. And it was just like, like a scalded dog just brought cleansing. The gospel has power. So when you share, when you declare Jesus Christ crucified, when you declare he's risen again from the grave, when you declare that there's no other name given among men by which you must be saved, it releases power even to open blind eyes and deaf ears. Yes, we pray for blind eyes and deaf ears too, by name, authoritatively, in the power of the name of Jesus. Yes, but when you share Jesus, it releases power. And there's no substitute for that. The proclamation of your testimony. Prophetic word, back in your notes. Revelation 19, verse 10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. True prophetic words testify of Jesus and his power. In 1 Timothy 1 and 18, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. Listen, you're in a war, and if you don't learn to speak God's word and testify about what he's done, you will be limited in your results of victory. God doesn't want you limited. He wants you to walk in a place of victory all your life, so you need to testify. You need to declare it. You need to proclaim it from the highest mountain to the lowest valley. You need to speak up because your words have power. Thank you. Come on, say amen. I agree. Your personal testimony. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20 says this, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. That's the way it is for me. I can't help myself. If you dropped me in a group of people, I'm going to look for people to get. I just can't help myself because of what he's done for me. And I long for people to experience God, to experience salvation, to experience healing, to experience deliverance, to be set free from shame and guilt and condemnation. I long for people to experience that. Don't you? And how that's going to happen is by sharing your faith and by preaching the gospel. There's no substitute for being in an environment like this. Right now, there's power raining down on you, whether you know it or not, quickening you, touching you, setting you free. There's power in the gospel. And there's no substitute for being under powerful preaching. So are you saying you're a powerful preacher? I just know that when I preach, I feel God's power and lives get changed. Call it whatever you want. It's not arrogance. It's boldness in what God's word is. Your personal testimony. Come on, what has God done for you? Does anybody remember when you were lost, when you were broken, when you were hurting? Do you remember when you were in that gurney, in that bed, on the drip? Do you remember when they said there's no hope for you? Do you remember when your marriage was on the rocks and there was no way that you're going to come through? Divorce papers already signed. Do you remember how God delivered you? When you remember and when you talk about how he delivered you, it releases power. And it breaks demons off of your situation and all those who hear. I had the occasion of sharing my story when I was in India and the story of this building and just testifying. And when they were asking me questions, honestly, I was jet lagged and I didn't feel like talking. Anybody know what that's like? Just kind of like take a deep breath. Can I get a cup of tea? You know, I mean, I'm there to like minister. I don't feel like I don't want to take a nap. I feel no unction. I feel no power. I feel no authority. It has nothing to do with your feelings. So I've flown halfway around the world to tell the story of my story of how God saved me, delivered me, saved me, how God's done what he's done and what he's doing and bringing about a great awakening. And as I begin to testify and talk about what God's done, I began to feel God's power coming. And I began to see those who were listening begin to have hope. And I saw people begin to change. I saw pastors to begin to believe for more. Pastors beginning to believe that they could change their region, change their territory, change their family, that they could do the impossible with the word of God. They'll speak it and they'll believe. And as I remembered and I shared, it brought fresh faith. I thought, oh yeah, what else do you want to do, God? It brings fresh faith. Don't ever forget what God's done. And one of the ways you don't forget is by sharing it. Remember what God has done. It builds faith. You're God's messenger. You're God's messenger. Come on, say it. You're God's messenger. You're God's messenger by declaring his goodness. And your testimony condemns the enemy. It condemns the enemy in a court of law before heaven. When you testify, you're saying, I know before God that I've got power and authority, and that you set me free before and you'll set me free again. And I declare before you, oh God, that that's the truth. And I declare before Satan and all his demons, you have no power, you have no authority. I've been washed by the blood. I've got authority. It's a different way of living. We visited this orphanage, and it's an orphanage that's been in existence for about 20 years. They've graduated 1,000, they've had 1,000 children come through who are now doctors and lawyers and leaders in the nation. It's kind of like Ivan Tate's ministry, but they're in India. And he has influence in 1,000 churches, a very successful businessman here in America, graduated from one of the finest universities in the land, lived in San Francisco, became extremely successful. And then in the midst of that, he was very successful. His wife was very successful, made tons of money. And the Lord said, great, sell everything and go back to India and start an orphanage. And they did. They've been there for 20 years. And when we showed up, we were so blown away by the fruit that's there. These kids filled with joy. We were so undone. See, these beautiful children. You think, oh, they don't have any parents. No, they've got a father and a mother, and it's in this man and this woman. And these kids were, I mean, filled with joy, worshiping God. But they have some obstacles and some challenges, and he asked me to pray. So all I did was pray the way that we pray, with power and authority, and something broke. We prophesied over them. He contacted me just the other day, yesterday. He might even be online right now. He told me he's going to be in our service. He said, I have been touched. Your new way of daring, bold prayer has affected me, and I've changed the way that we're praying here at the orphanage. You've got to get a hold of the truth of God's word. Don't settle. Speak up. How can we see an awakening? We can see an awakening by declaring our personal testimony. We can see an awakening as we declare our personal testimonies, as we share the gospel. Can you say amen? Something stirred in that group. We're starting a mentoring time that's going to be on, I think it's on Thursday, 15 hours ahead. And so I said to that man, I said, you know, If you want more of that, I would never want to pull you out of where you're at or undermine what God's doing. Can I have keys, please? But if you're interested in getting disciple, I welcome you. He says, I don't have anybody. No, yeah, I want in. I want in. I want to see how can we bring change? How can we bring an awakening? If you can get a hold of what I'm telling you right now, speak up. Don't just stand there. Say something. Bump your neighbor and say, don't just stand there, say something. Flip my notes, young man. Go to the next point, Mr. Note Guy. Thank you. Come on, everybody say, don't just stand there, say something. I said that already. Next one. All right, read, know, and memorize the word. Do what? Read, know, and memorize the word. Because if you don't know the word, then you'll never speak it. I always know when people are in the word because they pray it. And you can tell immature believers, even though they've been saved for decades, that don't pray the word is because they don't read the word. I was at a particular meeting and I asked them, raise your hand if you've heard of Nehemiah. Man, there was like 10 people that raised their hand out of a group of 100. I thought, obviously we have a language difficulty. Nehemiah, raise your hand if you heard of Nehemiah. Nobody heard of Nehemiah. Well, how can you not? I don't want to do it here. I'd be embarrassed because I'm your pastor. If you haven't heard of Nehemiah, that might be partially my fault, but mostly yours. Read, know, memorize the word. Psalm 1, I love this. Blessed is the man who walketh, I like the King James on this. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They'll be like the chaff which is driven away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Some of you are not walking in the kind of victory that God has for you because you don't know the word, because you don't speak the word, and because you don't memorize the word. Teach your kids to memorize the word. Memorize the word yourself. Psalm 119 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Some of you have a sin problem because you've not hidden the word. You know, it's amazing when you study and you read the word and you're in the word and you soak in the word. The second you go to do something that's contrary to that, the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind. You're like, oh. The word of God has saved this church. It's the reason we're here. Over and over and over, we stood in the place of impossibility. We would speak the prophetic word and declare what God said. God said, God said, God said. I was talking to Jesse Duplantis. I had no idea what kind of controversy he would bring. There's so many people that get upset that we had Jesse Duplantis. Oh, relax. What a humble man. I spent time with him. I received impartation from him, a gift of faith. I was moved, and I was telling him, God's going to pay this building off. It's already done by faith. I said, but it sure is taking a while to manifest. He said, oh, yeah. Sometimes it takes some time, but it's coming. Come on, someone say it's coming. God stands over his word to see it performed, but if you don't stand over it and you quit, how is he going to come through for you? Some of you are washed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. Don't. Know the word. Memorize the word. Speak to mountains. Everybody say, speak to mountains. Jesus spoke the word. You speak the word. What is a mountain? It's an obstacle. It's a problem. It's a trial. Sickness can be a mountain. Disease can be a mountain. Finances can be a mountain. That which is in the way of where God said you can go is a mountain. Speak to that thing and command it to move. And don't shrink back. Keep speaking it. Share your faith, moving on. Share your faith in Christ with others. It's amazing to me how many people don't witness. It is actually one of the pillars of your walk with God. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you. I'm stirring you. Because there's no awakening without a bold proclamation of the gospel, a bold proclamation of your testimony. Share your faith with others. Dr. Michael Gann is a friend of mine. He's been here. And I've known him for 30 years. I remember him testifying. He looked like he crawled out from under a hamper. Does anybody know what that looks like? Wrinkled head to toe, kind of disheveled. But he was talking about how he was wanted by the FBI. I mean, it is this incredible testimony. And as time went on, a man who was wanted by the FBI became an FBI negotiator. You want to tell me how that's possible? God. And as I was listening to him testify all those years ago, I was filled with hopelessness at the time. And I looked at him, and as he's testifying about how God did this and God did that and how God, I just thought, dude, if God did it for him, gosh, he could do it for me. That just released hope and strength. Think about how many people you could encourage. Come on, raise your hand. If God's done something great for you, use your Facebook for that instead of criticizing. Use your Facebook for that. Share on social media what God's done. I dare you to do it today. Can you imagine if we had a flood on social media? Oh, I was broken, but now I'm healed. I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I went to church today. Got touched by God. I've got hope. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go up and over. I'm speaking my mountain. Mountain, yo, mountain, listen to me. Be uprooted and cast into the sea. Mountain, you've got to move. Mountain, move in the name of Ramakalaraba. Move in the name of Jesus. Speak to the mountain and declare it, proclaim it, declare it, make it move by faith. Jesus said it. Share your faith with others. Proclaim God's promise. Claim God's promises. Dr. Morocco said so many years ago, I've quoted it for decades. The promises of God are the basis by which you pray. If you get a promise, you pray that thing and then it'll come to pass unless you quit. He said, Hackman, hasn't happened yet. I don't know. It doesn't mean you quit. His promise is true. Come on, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will. How many of you know that scripture? Some of you don't know it. I'll teach it to you now. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So if the devil didn't leave yet, you're not done resisting and submitting and resisting. Can you say yes? Share your personal story of what God's done. Share your personal story of what God's done. I challenge you this week to share your story with someone.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.